Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
You know, I think sometimes we forget how old people are and how quick someone could age. Great example today, as you saw in the beginning, I know it's not wrestling related, but anybody that follows my work, you know how much this man means to yours truly, Ray Liotta, gone. The age of 67 years old, died in his sleep. Hey, if that's the way to go, if that's the way I can go, yeah, die in his sleep. Don't know what else to say. I mean, anybody that's ever tuned into a show, last couple of years especially, the end of every show, we close out with a tribute to Ray Liotta, a tribute to Goodfellas, and a tribute to my dog, who is up in the heavens playing with other dogs right now. So Goodfellas, without question, my favorite movie of all time. A little bit of my character, my persona, you know, definitely reflects Ray Liotta a little bit. Taking 67 years old, you know, I think we get stuck in that time zone. You look at wrestlers, you know, Hall of Famers, and you realize, you know, 70s. I mean, look, he died in his sleep. Look at the physical condition. Yes, he put on a little bit of weight over the years, but he did not abuse his body. And taken away at 67 years old, and you see some wrestlers in their 70s and still being able to do things. I mean, it really sometimes puts life in perspective, you know? You know, I want to just share one little tidbit. Take about 60 seconds. And I know some of you will remember this because I brought this up and I have the footage. I'm looking at my DVD collection right now. I can pull it and maybe share it next week if you want. The first time, this is weird, the first time I ever saw Ray Liotta was in 1981. And I've talked about this story before, but for those that don't know it, it was March 30th, 1981, a couple of days after my birthday, and I was home watching TV. My mother used to love watching soap operas. These days, it's Game Show Network. Back then, One Night, One Life to Live, General Hospital, another world. Ray Liotta was an actor on a daytime soap opera called Another World. And my mom had it on the television that day. Ray Liotta is the last person you see on the screen on that soap opera that day until they cut it to a major news-breaking news story. Ronald Reagan, our president, was shot in New York City. Yeah, it was in Manhattan, right? John Hinckley. John Hinckley Jr., was that his name? So that is how I first ever saw Ray Liotta from that show. And years later, when I traded video with someone to get coverage of the shooting from that day, sure enough, one of the clips on the DVD is Another World. And you see him doing a scene and right to a news break. Ronald Reagan was shot. Wild, man. Wild. You know, some of you out there, I don't even think realize that he was in Grand Theft Auto Vice City. You know, that was epic. That was epic. But for me, Goodfellas will always be the movie. So rest in peace, Ray Liotta. And yes, tonight when we finish this show, the outro, you know, every time you hear that outro now, it gives a little bit of a different feel, doesn't it? Okay. Everybody that's live, want you to help me decide which way we format the show tonight. Now, I will let everybody know, right now it's 9:11 p.m., not the date. It's 9:11 p.m. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to take a one-minute break so I could go in the other room and just hit record. I'm recording Kevin Castle's Patreon show. He's been having issues with his audio, so I offered to record it for a second week in a row. This week, I don't have to check levels or anything, so I'll be gone maybe 30 seconds. That'll be at 10 o'clock. But we're dividing the show tonight into two segments. One part of the show is going to be predictions, AEW, Double or Nothing. 11 matches, rumored additional match, and which could make it 12. So we'll get into predictions tonight. That's going to, you know, be a little bit of a conversation. I mean, it's not going to take me long. Some of these matches, the outcomes are very predictable. But the other half of the show is going to be Q&A, talk a little bit about NXT this week, Dynamite, the not-so-great Okan debut yesterday that was freaking awful. I got an exclusive story about Tammy Sitch. You're not going to read anywhere else yet. Someone eventually will figure out through a court website or something what I'm talking about, and then they'll say, oh, breaking news, you know, exclusive here, my dick exclusive here. I got it exclusive here tonight. I was so tempted to put this as the banner tonight, but I was like, you know what? I do not clickbait on these shows. And I don't know if this is considered clickbait. But let me ask you all this. If I showed you, if you, be honest with me, if you clicked on, you know, you're searching on YouTube to watch something, and you came across this picture right now, I think obviously that would trigger a lot of reaction. Huh? What? Charges dropped. Case dismissed. The fuck is going on with Tammy Sitch? But here's the thing. It has nothing to do with Florida. So if I posted that, would you consider that clickbait? If I told you that it didn't have to do with Florida? I'm a little curious. Because I don't have that as the thumbnail, obviously. But I was thinking about it. I was like, if I put that as the picture, you know it's going to get a lot of hits. But I don't want to piss anybody off. I don't want you to be like, oh, I thought he was talking about the DUI manslaughter charge. So what do you think? Is that clickbait, that picture? I don't know. As you can see, I got a nice haircut today. On my Twitter, there's a picture. I should have downloaded it and showed you. Maybe later on I'll get a moment and download it. But, you know, I got my hair cut, and I always go to my friend's basement. And you look at it, and it's an Italian basement with 55-gallon drums everywhere. And you think, you know, it's for dead bodies. It's just hilarious. I will say this. Bafangul, Tony D'Angelo, you should have raced onto Twitter and said, rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Guy is missing in action. All right. This is what I want you to do for everybody live. Should we do the first half of the show, pay-per-view predictions, and then do news and Q&A secondary? Or do you want to open up the show now with news and Q&A and then do predictions for the second half? Tell me what you want right now. Yes, I finally got the shirt. I've been waiting for, what, 3 months? They finally shipped it to me. Oh! I also got today a mystery box. I have no idea what's inside. It is from WWE. I did not order anything but a Vince McMahon shirt. We will open this Saturday. The label shows me nothing. It just shows a skew. I typed it online. I typed it on their site. Maybe it's Sasha Banks clearance stuff. I don't know. All right. Online right now, it seems a little bit split down the middle between news and between predictions. You know, we got to get a few more votes in here. You know, I definitely want to maximize tonight's discussion because we got a very loaded weekend. Saturday is the Don Tony Show, and we got a lot of stuff to get into there. Sunday, we have the recap. You know, I put up a poll in the community section. You know, what you wanted this weekend. Did you want an AEW recap on Sunday, or do you want to sit down and then I record a recap Monday afternoon? No, everybody wanted me, majority, to do a recap Sunday night. So no sit-down episode for 2 weeks because people forgot next week is Hell in the Cell. No sit-down next week either. All right, so majority of you are saying, let's do news and stuff now. All right, so we'll do news. You know, this is how we'll do it. We'll do news and Q&A up to the 10 o'clock hour. Then I will take a one-minute break. I will go adjust the audio. We'll come back, and then we'll do predictions. How's that? Because I don't have much news to get into today. There really is not much. I do want to bring this up first. It's not major news, but I thought it was pretty cool. I am in, obviously, the wedding frame of mind. I know some of you know what I'm talking about, but congratulations to Camille from NWA and Thomas Latimer. They are officially married. They got married over the weekend. Look, man, you know, we used to fry Thomas Latimer. Just remember back to his relationship with Charlotte Flair. Guy had a lot of problems back then, but everybody that I have talked to that either knows him or knows him through someone else says the guy has grown up, totally changed. He is not the man he was 10, 15 years ago. So good, good. He's got a real good woman over there. So congrats to that couple. Kay Daugherty has no idea who either one of them is. Shame on you for not knowing Camille. Thomas Latimer, I don't really follow him much either. I mean, I know who he is, unfortunately, because of the Charlotte stuff. But congrats to both of them. All right. Last night, we had AEW Dynamite. And, you know, since I don't do a show Wednesday night late, it's not required for me to watch Dynamite as it airs live. So last night, for the first 45 minutes, I was busy getting a few things done. I was booking some things for my wedding, honeymoon. And it was about 5 to 9 p.m. I said, you know what? Let me watch the second hour of Dynamite. Because I was searching, I'm like, I want to watch something. And I tune into TBS, and I'm watching the very end of FTR versus Roppongi Vice. And it goes to a no contest. I guess a disqualification. Maybe it's a no contest. I don't know. We get a run-in. Now, we've talked about it. AEW Dynamite, you have to start interjecting New Japan wrestlers on the show because you have Forbidden Door in June. It is coming up a lot sooner than you think. And, you know, this is going to get the ball rolling because after Forbidden Door, that trios title situation that we've talked about is going to be announced not too long after that. I don't think they would jump the gun and do it beforehand. They want to get the Owen Hart tournament out of the way first. But so you have to have some New Japan talent appear. So they had Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan make their appearance. Now, listen, we don't have to criticize Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is awesome. Jeff Cobb was great the first time we saw him. He's great in New Japan. He is just an last night's return. Everything he did was crisp and strong, and he looked great. His partner, Great Okan, I think I commented about him once before, and I said, you know, the man has a very intimidating look. You look at his teeth. You look at the goatee, the extra hair. You know, I still have nightmares from Killer Khan back in the day. Some of my friends would laugh when Killer Khan used to scream. I used to get scared. My friends would laugh their ass off, and I would get scared. But he's got a great look. But he is one sloppy motherfucker. And yesterday, I'm not even watching Dynamite for 5 minutes. And this motherfucker, you had two things to do, Stu Nuts. You had two things to do. Hit a double team move in the middle of the ring, and then take Trent Beretta by the head, pick him up, and put him through a table. I rewound it because I know I wasn't in the Twilight Zone. I rewound it to make sure I saw what I saw before I commented about it. And what happens? The double team move in the ring. Just imagine the Dudleys doing 3D on someone and Bubba Ray doesn't grab the head as he's going down. This guy was supposed to grab the head and he slipped and he's, oh God, you got to see it. He falls before the others fall. That's mistake number one. Then they set up a table outside the ring and Khan is walking up the ring steps with Trent Beretta. And we've talked about the head squeeze that all these big Oompa Loompas do. You know, it looks intimidating. It looks like you're going to squeeze the eyeballs out of someone's head. You're squeezing the head like a basketball. But all the giant Oompa Loompas do that because they can't execute a lot of polished, smooth power moves. You know, we've seen Omos use it. We've seen Satnam Singh use it. We've seen the great Khali use it. We've seen not-so-great Okan use it. So all he had to do was grab Trent by the head. And then the other hand, you pick him up with the back. Trent, with a little bit of momentum, and he goes through the table. This motherfucker totally slipped. And Trent Beretta jumped up himself, put himself through a table, and the great Okan's hand is somewhere in the air somewhere. I don't know if maybe he was doing like the Japanese John Cena. You'll not see me. You know, you'll not see me. You know, what the fuck was that? I go on Twitter and I said, channel surfing, I tune on Dynamite, I see this spaghetti Okan fucking up the two spots he was supposed to do. I changed the channel. Nope, not watching AEW Dynamite tonight. You know, within 5 minutes, I watched my follower count go down by six. And then I had someone, you know, DM me nasty shit, email me nasty shit. One person had the balls to ask me publicly on Twitter, wow, you turn off Dynamite that quick? What about WWE? And I say now, wait a minute. If you're channel surfing, first of all, I'm not required to watch a pro wrestling show live in first run as it happens. I could watch it the next day. I could watch it later on in the night. I don't have to watch it live, but as long as I watch it, if I cover it. If I'm channel surfing and I'm trying to find something good to watch and I stop on something and it looks like it sucks, am I going to say, you know what, maybe it'll get better 10 minutes later. Maybe it'll get better. Well, let me keep watching. Sometimes your favorite sports team is getting blown out and they look like shit. Well, maybe it'll pick it up a little bit later. Yeah, well, I'll tune in a little bit later. People, because I watched that shit and I changed the channel, I did something wrong. So I saw this super chat come in from James. And he says that Kenny Olivier, is that Olivier? I think that's how you say it. Kenny Olivier, Twitter account, posted both of Great O'Khan's botches from Dynamite. Oh, my God, they are awful. I agree with you, DT. Jeff Cobb looked awesome, but Khan was awful. That guy was awful yesterday. And you know what's going to happen. Tony Khan's going to go on Busted Open Radio, and he's going to praise the fuck out of this. We beloved Johnny Impact, John Morrison, Johnny Elite, Johnny Nitro, whatever, Johnny, whatever you want to call him. We love him. But his match with Samoa Joe last week was awful. Calling spots. Joe, no, over here, over here, over here. Fucking camera right in his face. And Tony Khan goes on Busted Up and Out. It was an amazing match. It was an amazing match. I didn't see anybody criticize this motherfucker yesterday other than people that are accused of being bots. I watched all of these journalists and shows. Oh my God, it's the great Okan. I feel like it's a bad Charlie Brown show. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's the great Pumpkin. It's the great Okan, Charlie Brown. That was awful yesterday. Now, I did watch the rest of Dynamite today, and I thought it was overall a better show. Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, what the hell was that at the end? Jamie Hayter was supposed to, like, help Britt Baker defeat Toni Storm, it looked like she was swatting a mosquito away. She went like this. What is she? She's got the Michael J. Fox syndrome? Like, what was that? She shows up at the ringside area, and she's supposed to, I guess, put Britt Baker's holder for leverage for the three count. She goes, it's like she waved. And the announcers are like, oh, Jamie Hayter, you know, helped her win. Are you serious? Come on, man. And why didn't Adam Cole come out there to help Kyle O'Reilly? Why suddenly all these morals? No, stay in the back. This motherfucker's been punching people in the balls, having Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly interfere. Adam Cole helps them. And suddenly last night, no. Nobody help. I thought that was, I mean, come on. Some of this was not very good last night. Some of it was great. The Wardlow MJF stuff is awesome. CM Punk and Adam, and Hangman Page, excuse me. It's Adam Page, but I like calling him Hangman Page. Adam Page just sounds too bland. They amped it up yesterday. Now, a lot of people are disagreeing with my opinion on how this match is going to go Sunday. I will tell you, after watching Dynamite yesterday, my view has not changed about that match. So we will talk about that in a little bit. The match results from yesterday, Wardlow over Sean Spears. MJF was the ref, but Sean Spears accidentally decked him with a chair shot, so we had another referee show up. Eddie Kingston and John Moxley over Private Party. Jericho Appreciation Society interferes. Bryan Danielson makes a save. Obviously, the leg is okay. FTR, like I said, against Roppongi Vice. They're calling it officially. It ended in a no contest. That was for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. Jungle Boy over Ricky Starks and Swerve Strickland in a three-way match. No titles on the line. Britt Baker over Toni Storm to advance to the finals. And the main event was Samoa Joe beating Kyle O'Reilly by referee stoppage. Kyle O'Reilly could not answer the referee's count, whatever you want to call it. Samoa Joe choked him out. A lot of people are surprised of Samoa Joe going to the finals. A lot of people are surprised that Toni Storm did not go to the finals. You know, my pick all along was Ruby Soho to win it. And, yeah, when I do predictions later, you will see I'm still sticking with that. But Toni Storm, a lot of people are saying, here we go again. You get the hot debut, and that person's the talk of the town, and then they disappear from TV, get a couple of dark matches, Elevation. I call it AEW YouTube. And then they come back to TV a little bit, and usually a win on TV has to be the result of something coming up. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. You know, you see that when people win numerous matches on AEW YouTube, it's to pad numbers, obviously. But when it comes to a lot of the women's wrestlers, when they win on AEW network TV, it's usually because of something else coming up. It's a tournament match. It's a pay-per-view match. You don't normally see anybody get a momentum swing unless you're Thunder Rosa, unless you're Jade Cargill, or unless you're Britt Baker for the most part. But usually when someone suddenly starts getting some wins on network TV, that's because, oh, just so happens a pay-per-view is coming up. Oh, it just so happens we're in the middle of a tournament. An eliminated tournament, a cup, a memorial, this and that. And Toni Storm now, you know, a lot of people feel like, okay, now here's where she goes into mediocrity. Don't know. Only time will tell. Only time will tell. So that was your episode of Dynamite yesterday. Ratings-wise, it went up just a drop. It went up. Last week was 922. This week it was 929, so a very, very tiny increase. I personally think the number is fine. You know, I don't pay attention to this playoff shit. I mean, obviously, if it's a really special game, you know, game seven or just, you know, a matchup that just piques everybody's interest, that's different. But when it's just a standard playoffs, I mean, pro wrestling 10, 20 years ago, sure, wrestling was much different and in a lot of ways much better back then. But 10, 20 years ago, they were going head-to-head with playoffs of all different sports, and they were scoring crazy-ass numbers still. And as I always said, you know, when Survivor or TV Sports or someone else does a crappy rating, I don't ever see them saying, whoa, you know, wrestling was on. You know, so for me, it's simple. I keep saying it. Whether a rating in wrestling goes up or it goes down, if it goes down, that means some of your wrestling fans, some of the fans of your product, chose to do something else or watch something else. Doesn't mean that people are watching something else. They might have just decided to go out. It's a nice night. Maybe they wanted to get laid. Maybe they went shopping. Maybe they went to sleep early. Maybe they went to visit friends. Maybe they went to a bar or a restaurant. Doesn't always mean that somebody is they're watching something else that night. And when ratings go up, that's your wrestling fans that are choosing you over others. That's why last week it really pissed me off when I saw those wrestling news sites. Why did NXT go up so much? Well, maybe because NXT fans kind of liked what they were watching. You know, I mean, this week, obviously, the ratings went back down a little bit. But for both products, it's right about average. AEW's rating around 900,000. That's about average. NXT in the upper fives is about average. Sometimes they're a little low, sometimes they're a little high. Now, in 10 days, well, a little less than 10 days, we have NXT In Your House. That will be taking place a week from this Saturday. I just realized it. Holy shit, wait a minute, that's the day before Hell in a Cell? So we're probably going to have two recaps. Oh, okay, so the weekend is going to be even busier. But this week, for NXT fans, the news that upset a lot of people was this. Look all the way on the left. Nikita Lyons, who is a lot of people's favorite to win this women's breakout tournament, is out of the tournament. She got a legitimate knee injury, and as a result, they had to pull her from this tournament. Now, my pick all along was Roxanne Perez, and I'm sticking with it. But out of everybody on that roster, they put Tiffany Stratton to get an opportunity, and she faced Fallon Henley on Tuesday with the winner going to the finals. I mean, come on. I have nothing against Tiffany Stratton, but she may be blonde in the hair color and white in the skin color, but she is green in the wrestling department. Oh, my God. So they actually had her take Nikita Lyons' place, and guess what? She won on Tuesday. She didn't look bad, but I will even say it. If she beats Roxanne Perez to win this whole thing, that is just cringeworthy awful. I mean, I like Mandy Rose, and Mandy Rose has definitely upped her game. She has backed it up. You got to give her credit for that. But does anybody truly want to see Mandy Rose versus Tiffany Stratton? Oh, hell no. So, Tiffany Stratton, she wins on Tuesday to advance to the finals. Alba Fire, who, as someone pointed out in the NXT watch party, looks an awful lot like Kaylee Ray. She defeated Electra Lopez. Sanga over Wes Lee, and then Sanga helps Wes Lee because Zion Quinn was going to try to pick up a little bit of the scraps after Sanga destroyed Wes Lee. I've said this in a couple of watch parties now. Wes Lee reminds me of Ricochet. Not just size, the way he talks, his persona, the way he sounds, his attitude. There's a lot of Wes Lee that reminds me of Ricochet. But this, like, little puppy dog saved by a master thing Tuesday, I didn't like it at all. because Zion Quinn was going to attack Wes Lee and Sanga scares him off. And Wes Lee like falls into the arms of Sanga and almost looked like a scared little puppy. Oh, thank you for rescuing me. Oh, hell no. Soulfly says he's an exact copy of Ricochet. I wouldn't say he's an exact copy, but he definitely reminds me of Ricochet. Definitely reminds me. And it's not a knock on the guy. We had Mandy Rose beating Indy Hartwell in a non-title match and Bron Breakker beating Duke Hudson in a non-title match. I don't know if anybody thought about it. Do you think they had Indy Hartwell face the women's champion and Duke Hudson face the men's champion as a little bit of a consolation since WWE fucked up their storylines? Think about it. Persia Peralta is no longer there. Dexter Lumis is no longer there. This might have been a little bit of a reward. Like, look, we know we screwed up both your storylines, so you both get title shots. You're not winning. You're not winning nothing, but you both get title shots. That's what it felt like to me on Tuesday. And we had, Channing Lorenzo and Troy Donovan, the two Goombas and Tony D'Angelo's group. They beat Idris and Ofi and Malik Blade. It was a decent match. One of the guys in Tony D'Angelo's group, I don't think he's going to last. The one that wears the hat that looks like Big Vito Light, I like him. I like him. He's really, really good in what he does. The other guy just looks like he works at Target. You know, just because you get a little buzz cut and you wear a wife beater shirt, you know, tank top, I'm not feeling it with that guy. But Stacks and Two Dimes. I tell you, my neighborhood, I have heard nicknames of a lot of, you know, people over the years. I mean, Stacks is obviously one of the characters from Goodfellas, but I never heard anybody called Two Dimes. Never heard anybody called Two Dimes. Yeah, Luca Brasi. Hey, Luca Brasi. Hey, you know, by the way, I posted on Twitter, and I'm dead serious. I'm having my honeymoon from September 10th to September 18th. I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to be in Orlando. And you know what? It would be cool, since I'm a fan of WWE since 1979, that maybe I get a little bit of a tour of NXT, or maybe they could hook me up with a pair of tickets to go see NXT that Tuesday night. I mean, I think I have supported them enough over the years to get a little bit of an NXT, you know, feeler. So if anybody in NXT is tuning in, you know, I'm dead serious. I'll pay my way. You know, give me a cup of coffee and show me around. All right. So NXT this week did 551, down from last week, 601. You know, next Saturday is In Your House. Right now, the matches for In Your House, do we even have the matches for In Your House? I don't even think I do. You know, but I will say this. We could get into it next week. We obviously are going to do predictions next week, but I'll say this. You know, I'm very surprised at how many people that think Bron Breakker is going to lose that championship and get disqualified. And I was talking about this, I don't remember, I think it was on Patreon yesterday. You know, take note that they never added countout. Usually when you do that stipulation, it's if you get disqualified or if you get counted out, you lose the championship. The stipulation in this match is if Bron Breakker is disqualified, period. So a lot of people think that that is going to be their way out of having Joe Gacy win without pinning Bron Breakker, and then Bron Breakker's going to the main roster. I don't see that at all. I see this as temptation. Joe Gacy is trying to bait Bron Breakker into snapping. The Polaroid of Bron when he was a kid, showing the football footage when Rick didn't go to the game. He's trying to trigger Bron Breakker to flip. And I could see it a million miles away. When they have that match and In Your House, Joe Gacy's probably going to bring a chair in the ring and give it to Bron Breakker. And he's going to bait Bron Breakker, try to do everything he can to Bron Breakker to break the rules and get disqualified. And then Bron, every time, is about to do it. The referee's like, and then Bron doesn't do it. Braun will resist, and Braun will retain that championship. I'm amazed. I would say that's a good thing. That's a good thing if that many of you think that he is going to lose. You know, when you can't truly pick a winner, that's usually when wrestling is at its finest. Now, I'm not saying that Bron Breakker versus Joe Gacy is wrestling at its finest, but we brought this up a couple of weeks ago. You know, you look at wrestling over the years, some of the greatest matches that you have ever seen, and what do they all have in common? 99% of the time, you couldn't pick a winner. You really, there was not a clear-cut winner for almost all of them. There are a few exceptions, but even when you go back to Austin and Bret Hart, Hogan Savage, you know, Savage Steamboat, Flair Steamboat, Flair Funk, just to name a few. Rock Austin, you know, you can't pick a winner all the time. And that's usually when wrestling is at its best, when you really can't pick a winner. That's what wrestling needs more these days. I mean, I will say this. When we go to predictions in a few minutes for AEW, there are quite a few matches that are very predictable. But there's a few that are not bad at all. I mean, it's really, really a toss-up as far as picking a winner. All right. So before we get into some Q&A, I want to put this out there. And again, I'm not using this as a thumbnail because I don't want to clickbait anybody. I don't even want it to be perceived a drop as clickbait. But as I showed you earlier, you know, charges have been dropped in a court case against Tammy Sitch. When I do the synopsis after this show is over, I am going to put in parentheses that this is not the Florida DUI case. I want to make that clear. Because if I don't do that, some people are going to think, wait a minute, they dropped the DUI charges? No, 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 no. This case that was dropped was a pretty big deal. It was back in January, and she was arrested and charged with making terroristic threats to commit violence. Remember, she had the pair of scissors, and she threatened to stab her boyfriend at the time? She got charged with few serious charges. This was a very big story back in January. Obviously, this was before the DUI manslaughter. But today, in court, the judge dismissed all the charges. Her boyfriend was facing one count as well of simple assault, purposely causing bodily injury. Now, domestic fights sometimes happen. It might be one-sided and then the other side says, no, he or she hit me also. And if you just make that accusation, you know, you could be arrested for it. Even if there's no visible signs of injury. But I do know for a fact that her boyfriend was on teleconference and New Jersey dropped all of the charges in that case against her and against him. So, I don't want anybody to think, oh, they dropped it because she's fucked in jail and she's screwed for life and all that. No, that has nothing to do with it. It's just that he did not want to pursue charges against her. The court did not have enough sufficient evidence to continue it further. So that case is dismissed. It's not found not guilty. It's just dismissed. That entire case is over. Now, you're not going to see anyone else report this yet because the information is not online. You know, they all just do Google searches and they search court sites and then something pops up. Oh, look, because I found it before everyone else. Look, breaking news exclusive. Pay me money for something that I just visited a website for. I'm sure it'll be updated by tomorrow or by early next week. And then people report it as if, you know, they no one else talked about it. But that's the deal. Just like the Sasha Naomi stuff. You see all this crap that's coming out now. Oh, Sasha couldn't stand Ronda Rousey and Sasha this and this, this and that and blah, 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 blah. You know, none of this stuff comes out before something happens. You know, these are people that because there's nothing new to report, you know, they'll write anything with the L-Y at the end. Allegedly, possibly, you know, likely, you know, and they don't know. They don't know. There is no new news about the Sasha Naomi stuff. It's just people, because they don't have any other big news to talk about, they'll just invent shit with Sasha and Naomi, and they'll keep it extremely, extremely vague because they honestly don't know. Look at the Money in the Bank news that came out today. The WWE is changing the venue. Now, I'm not going to talk about that until Saturday because someone told me that the venue and WWE couldn't work out a few incidentals, and that's why it was moved. People online are immediately saying, oh, poor ticket sales. You know, that could very well be it. But someone tonight DM'd me and said, no, DT, there might be something with the venue. You know, that could be the reason why it changed. So I want to get the facts first because you know how it is here. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. All right. If you're interested, tomorrow we have the AEW Rampage Watch Party and very cool contest tomorrow. If you show up tomorrow, you will see live. Remember, Rampage tomorrow is live. You have Matt Sydal versus Bryan Danielson. The Young Bucks will be in action. Scorpio Sky gets a new title belt. Nice. Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander. The winner of that match will go to the finals in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament at Double or Nothing. Someone tomorrow, I figured we give this as a giveaway because it is the ultimate fantasy match for many of us. Someone tomorrow is going to win an autographed photo of The Undertaker and an autographed photo of Sting. What you see is what you get. Now, it doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is show up and chat. Be a little lively. You know, be part of the conversation. You know, they'll just log in and think, oh, I get a prize. No, that's not how it works. Got to be a little bit mingling. Now, on the SmackDown side tomorrow, we're going to give away this. Yeah, I bet you haven't seen any Roman Reigns autographed unified pictures yet. Yeah, someone is going to win that Roman Reigns autographed unified photo and that beautiful looking Sasha Banks photo. Someone is going to win both of those. Same instructions. Show up, hang out, chat a little bit, and we'll figure out a nice drawing. Someone will win that. So, yeah. Oh, and the person, whoever wins, they get both photos, whether it's the Rampage. Yeah, it's possible somebody could do a clean sweep tomorrow. Someone may get extremely lucky and win all four photos. I doubt it, but you never know. The Extreme, do I think there'll be other announcements or signees on Sunday? I don't know. I don't think they need to. I don't think they need to continue the Forbidden Door storyline on Sunday. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, anything is possible, but we have, what, 40 people on the card? And, you know, there's buzz that they may add a match with Darby Allin. I thought Guevara was injured, but somebody told me that they were thinking about Scorpio Sky and Guevara, especially since they're giving him his title tomorrow on Rampage. So if they add one of those matches, now you're talking 42 to 44 people on that show inside the ring. You know, compare that to WrestleMania Backlash, only had 16. They only had 16 people in that match. So, now, I want to make something clear. It's 9:50. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to take a one-minute break just so I could go in the other room and hit a record button for Kev Castle for his Patreon show. When I come back, doesn't mean we have to get into AEW predictions immediately. Q&A will continue. We'll do the Q&A until about, let's say, 10:15, and then we'll go into predictions. So I don't want anybody to feel like, you know, we'll get a lot of questions and some good talk. So like I always say, just write in capital letters the word question before your question so it stands out and spots it a little bit quicker. Rye Baker, happy 13th month anniversary, my friend. What other matches do I think will be added to Hell in a Cell? I expect something with Judgment Day. I think we may get AJ Styles and look, we may get a six person mixed tag match, intergender match. You may get Finn, AJ, and Liv versus the Judgment Day. I still believe Finn Balor's going to turn. The thing is, I could see Liv Morgan acting confused, like, why Finn, why? And then she gets her ass kicked by Rhea Ripley. But I don't know if I see that happening at Hell in a Cell, because you would think, you know, Finn Balor is going to compete in that match. He's not going to hit the other guys and then join them. It would be kind of stupid. Unless AJ is in there for the majority of the match, Liv gets a hot tag, and then something happens where maybe Liv is trying to tag Finn and maybe Finn drops down and walks away. I don't know. I would think would be rushed, but I could see that match going down. You know, we're not going to get Roman Reigns on the card, but I could see something with the Usos. Why not? I mean, Riddle, you know, remember what we talked about the other day? Riddle is going to go after Roman Reigns, but I don't think just yet. There'll be some interesting matches added. You know, but again, you know, Seth Rollins and Cody is the attraction, and that is worthy of main eventing a pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever you want to call it. I don't understand why it's required now that a certain person has to be on there. You know, a year ago, as I said many times already, a year ago, Roman Reigns was not in Hell in a Cell. He took off that time too. Nobody complained. I mean, that event wasn't that spectacular anyway, but people were like, oh my God, they're in trouble, this and that. It's stupid. It's stupid. WWE machine is never about just one person, and it will continue to run. Speaking of the WWE machine, I got to bring this up. I forgot. Will Ospreay. We joked about it over the weekend when he said that he has no interest in going to WWE. And the reason why he said that is because WWE has absolutely no interest in bringing him in. It's very easy to say, oh, I'll never work for that place. And you say that because you know they don't want you to work for them. And that's a fact. You know, people forget that Will Ospreay, you know, burned the bridge a little bit with Seth Rollins a couple of years ago. They had a back and forth on social media. And then Seth Rollins apologized. He's like, I should be the better person. Will Ospreay accepted his apology. And then Ospreay fought Moxley in Japan. And I think Moxley hit Ospreay with the curb stomp. And Ospreay kicked out at two. And then he went on Instagram. And he said, I'll never kick out of that pussy finisher. You know, Will Ospreay, and put it this way, I dislike him this much. I didn't even bother doing a Google image search to download a picture of him. That's how little I give a shit about Will Ospreay. Now, he makes another quote, trying to dig a little deeper, and he says, you WWE guys aren't wrestlers, you're actors, and you are just wrestling, and I don't think that's a dig. You guys make way more money than me, like, good on you, but I just feel, when I say proudly, that's a wrestler. I'm a wrestler. I'm not an actor, but I know you guys could wrestle. You're just not really allowed to show it, I guess. But other than you wanting to make a lot of money and retire, that's what WWE is kind of these days. My God, what a fucking dick. Like, what a moron. I mean, sure, pro wrestling is not as good as what it used to be, but especially we just had, you know, Cody and Seth having magic. We have had AJ Styles and others having banger of matches. And WWE's been an entertainment company for decades and decades and decades. There's nothing different now. This man is so jealous and so bitter, you know, that he is not in a position that others are in and he's not making that money, that he's got to throw stupid comments like that. I don't know. I don't like the guy. I mean, I respect anybody that does. I don't like him at all. To me, he's just to me, he reminds me of Kip Sabian. Nothing against Kip Sabian. He just looks like a low-budget Kip Sabian. RMJ, did I make my park reservations in Disney? Yes, I did. Yes, I got everything done. I may tweak it a little bit since it is a couple of months early, but thank you. Thank you. I did get that done, though. BJ, what are my thoughts on the MJF Tony Khan free agency talk? I've said it 1,000 times on this show. MJF is in character 24/7 unless he is home in his room or he's away from people. He is a fucking character going hardcore deep with it. And news sites and people keep falling for it like there's this legitimate friction. Look, if there's legit friction with Tony Khan and MJF, MJF would be getting buried or not be used. You don't think that AEW would do just fine without MJF? You think MJF is going to be able to say and do half the things he could do in WWE? This friction stuff, it is just perception. It might turn into a story. It's just an exaggeration. This is not the male version of Sasha Banks. I don't buy into any of that. MJF does an interview and he says, oh, you know, I'm leaning towards WWE. He's a fucking heel. Of course he's going to do that. He's going to act like a selfish prick. I don't care about AEW. I don't care about the fans. I don't care about family. I don't care about the company. I don't care about this. I only care about MJF. And if these people want to pay me more, I'm going to fucking pick up and leave. There's no loyalty. That's what he's doing. And people are buying it like, oh my God, he is such a problem. Oh, I hate when people, not you, I'm just saying, like, people use that on their shows and make it like breaking news, huge news, MJF leaning towards leaving. MJF must be laughing at all these goofs. Tony Khan is probably laughing at all these goofs also. Like, look, they're actually reporting in his news. Will I check the crime scene while I'm in Florida? No, unless it's a magic ride. Where I could like go on a, like a roller coaster and like, hey, you know, this is the bank with it. I want to have fun. I don't want to like be part of crime. Let's see. Mr. Milwaukee. Have I ever seen Ray Liotta in that very good cop drama called, oh yeah, Shades of Blue with Jennifer Lopez? I watched a couple of episodes with my fiance. She liked that show. I never got into the show. I liked it. But for me, Ray Liotta, when I think of him, I think of Goodfellas and Vice City. So it seemed like he was pretty good in that. But I never really followed that show. Dragon, my thoughts on people who say Jade Cargill is going to get beat by Anna Jay. Those are the same people that think the MJF stuff is big news. She ain't losing. She ain't losing Anna Jay. That's no. Hell no. Not even close. All right. Guys, let's take a 1 minute break. I'm just going to run inside, literally 1 minute. I'm going to run inside, hit record, run right back here. We'll answer some more questions. We'll give a little plug for tonight's sponsor, and then we will get into AEW Double or Nothing prediction. So go take a leak, get something to drink, stretch your legs. Or chat amongst each other. I'll be back in 60 seconds. I'm getting ready to run because I don't have that much time. I'm out of breath. We'll be right back. I got back here so fast. So fast, I was able to download that picture of, on Twitter of me in my friend's basement. That, yeah, look, that's me getting a haircut. Look, get that. That's where I get my haircut. I don't go to salons. We don't go to barbershops. We go to my friend's basement with 55-gallon drums, and I'm getting a haircut. So, yeah, that was earlier today. My hair. People cut hair in the basements so they don't have to pay taxes. I know that sounds awful. That is awful. Did I wash my hands? Not now. All right, Mr. Noob, what's up? Since Asuka came back to WWE, fans don't see any change in her character. Do I think Asuka's current character is too overrated? I think that's what you meant. No, not at all. You know, Asuka right now, she's going to feud with Becky Lynch for an extended period of time. I think that carries over after Hell in a Cell. That's a pretty damn good feud. No, it's just not everybody. Look, she had a record title run, and she's had titles in the past, but right now it's Bianca Belair's time, it's Ronda Rousey's time, and that's not going to change. Could Asuka end up getting a tag team partner and becoming tag team champions again? Sure. I know right away people are like, oh, they should bring back Kairi Sane. I'd love it, but I don't see it. I don't think Asuka is overrated at all. I like her character. She's fun. She's goofy. You know, when she's like, instead of big time Bex, big time baby. You know, it's fun. I don't see any issue with it. You know, the problem is that some people out there, when their favorite is not getting the push that they want them to get, you know, they get very, very fidgety and they think, oh, you know, this is a problem and there's something wrong here, or they're overrated and the character's getting bland, this and that. You know, I mean, I guarantee you people will be saying that about Alexa Bliss in a month. You know, she just came back. She's got to find her groove. She's got to do a few things. Sonya Deville, you know, not only dealt with a crazy traumatic experience, but, you know, they gave her that management role, and now they're trying to segue into a wrestler again. She ain't going to go to the top immediately. They're going to do some storyline to just get her back in the field. Not everybody could get pushed at the same time. That's just the way it is. Were they really olives in the drums? No, of course not. It's papers, cosmetics, you know, other things. No illegal stuff and no dead bodies, I guarantee you. If I would have taken a selfie and I would have had my finger on my nose, then you would have known something was wrong. All right. I'm looking for questions for people in green. They are channel members, so they get a little bit of VIP. Do I think Bayley will be back at Hell in a Cell? I would love it. I don't think it's necessary. We don't even have a match yet for Ronda Rousey. I would like to see Ronda Rousey maybe against Raquel Rodriguez once again in a rematch. Would that help happen in Hell in a Cell? I doubt it. Could Bayley return, you know, beforehand? It's possible. I mean, I think right now, because of so much attention on Sasha Banks, I mean, Naomi ultimately, I think, is going to be back. We've talked about that before. Sasha Banks is much more well off financially as Naomi is. And Sasha Banks has Hollywood opportunities and a few other things going on. And Sasha Banks is truly, if you really want to consider it, she is truly a diva. When I said she is much more like Charlotte Flair than people want to admit, yeah, it really is. Sasha Banks would be fine outside of wrestling. Naomi, though, I don't see the same. I think Naomi would be back sooner, but you get Bayley back on television and you see how quickly people will not think as much about Sasha Banks. No, it's a shame to say that, but I think Bayley being back on TV would be very, very good for that company, especially with the lack of wrestlers, you know, just overall, and you're going to do a tag team tournament, you know, you almost feel like Asuka's going to have to team with someone. You know, they're going to, I wouldn't be surprised. Dana Brooke and Tamina probably form a regular tag team out of all of this, and they may go for the tag titles. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying they're going to have to get very creative here. Rojo Bear, my thoughts about the higher-ups from Warner Brothers and Discovery being at Dynamite next week. They should. They should. I mean, executives from USA have shown up many times for WWE. Execs from Fox have shown up with WWE. You know, I think Tony Khan probably shouldn't have said it in such a braggadocious way, like, oh, they're throwing us a party. You know, it sounds like a child. You know, I just think, you know, let other people report it. Let other people blow it out of proportion. They should. They should. But guess what? Guess what? I'm not Tony Khan, obviously. The man's a billionaire. He obviously does a hell of a lot better than I do, and he's a hell of a lot smarter than I am. But I will say this, especially that AEW is good. If they're going to see AEW, AEW should have went to see them 2 weeks ago. AEW made a calculated mistake by not showing up in New York City for WarnerMedia and Discovery. Even though they were not going to be heavily featured, despite what other people were reporting and hoping, they should have still showed up. They basically were like, oh, they don't care about us. Yeah, we're not even going to waste our time and go. Big mistake. AEW should have been the first ones to go meet with them, not the opposite. Even though they were not going to have a big presence, you know, at that event, they should have still showed up. Oh, wow. Look. Wow, that's pretty cool. They all showed up and, you know, they had people here and this and that and they got to meet some people. It just looks good. You know, Tony Khan, it feels like, oh, they're coming to us. We didn't even need to come to them. Sooner or later, it's going to backfire. I'm not saying it's going to backfire now, but the optics, they should have went there. All right. Yeah, Killer Cross sounds a little bit like Vince Vaughn. Yeah, I could see that. By the way, did you see all those sites now suddenly saying that AEW is trying to bring in Killer Cross to get fed to Wardlow? Gee, I wonder what show said that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember that? We were talking about the big men and Killer Cross was one that they were talking about. But Killer Cross doesn't want to go in there and give the optics. Remember what we were talking about? Control the narrative and everything else. He didn't want the optics of going in there and jobbing out to Wardlow in 45 seconds. Very, very smart decision. I mean, there was more involved, but very smart decision that he did not do that. But it was funny to watch all these websites today. I'm like, wait, we talked about that a month ago. You know, I don't know. Dragon Den, AEW's version of the Four Horsewomen. I can't answer that. Because you don't really have four women that really are going up the ranks, hanging out together, driving up and down the road, breaking bread together. I mean, if you want to look at anybody right now, you could argue Red Velvet, Kira Hogan, and Jade Cargill. They are getting very close outside of wrestling as well, and that's a cool thing. But no, when you're talking about Four Horsemen and Four Horsewomen, you know, they went up and down the road together and trained, and AEW does not have that kind of foursome as far as women's wrestling goes. But for three, you could say the ones that I said, absolutely. I don't think we will see Claudio Cicero, the former Cesaro, at Double or Nothing. There's no need. Look, Double or Nothing, even though it's 50-something bucks, it's going to be worth it. I mean, you know, you're getting a lot. I mean, not everybody wants to spend 60 bucks on a dinner. But if you walk in and it is a giant buffet and you could eat 1,000 things, then it's worth the money. They're giving way more than what is necessary. And there's a lot of wrestlers that are not even on the show when you really think about it. As of right now, no Darby, no Guevara, no Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page. Sting is injured, but, you know, no Dark Order. God. There's a lot of wrestlers. You know, Miro hasn't come back, and now people are claiming they'll never come back. They're giving way, way more than what is needed. But that's what happens when you got a loaded roster like that. There's going to be 14, 15 matches. I mean, you know, people complain about WrestleMania having 15 matches. You know, people don't complain about 14 or 15 matches if it's the company that they like. But when it's a company they don't like, it's totally unacceptable. Yeah, there's 11 matches right now, Sean. But what I said is that AEW, you know, there's rumors that they're considering adding another one or two matches to it. And you look at some of the wrestlers that are not on the show and, you know, you can have possibly, you know, some of the names that I just mentioned. Personally, if they leave it at 11, that's good. But that's still a 4.5-hour show. At minimum, 4.5 hours. So, you know, this show starts at 8 o'clock. I mean, yes, it's Memorial Day weekend. But I guarantee you that pay-per-view is not ending until close to midnight. You know, that is long. That is very long. But, you know, we're getting a lot. So, you know, I was kind of hoping that the voting would have gone in favor for the sit-down Sunday because I would have recorded the recap on Monday because everybody and their mother goes live right after the recap, and obviously everybody tries to fight for live viewers. Me, I appreciate everybody who tunes in live or afterwards. It's just when people say to me, like, that was funny a couple of weeks ago, hey, I can't tune in live for the Q&A because I'm going to go check out JD's show instead. Can I send you questions in advance? And I love JD, and I definitely plug, you know, everyone out there, enjoy his show. If you like his style and what he says, go for it. Enjoy it, man. He's dedicated, works his ass off. He's good, you know. But if you're going to say to me, DT, you know, I'm going to go hang out with someone else, but can I still? No. I don't think you would do that either. Yeah, I got to start figuring out when we're going to interview Cross. As WWE, do I think ever thought about putting Shayna versus Ronda? I think possible. I just think WWE does not see money in it. It could happen on SmackDown. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. Ronda Rousey makes an open challenge. I think I just figured it out. Ronda Rousey makes another open challenge. Shayna Baszler comes out. I think Ronda has this big smile on her face. Like, oh my God, it's one of my friends. Oh, that's so cool. And then Shayna Baszler, you realize 2 minutes in, Shayna ain't there to play. Shayna wants the fucking championship. And it turns into a brawl, and Shayna taps out. In fact, remember I said that. I'm not a genius, but I could definitely see that happening on SmackDown. You know, Ronda Rousey with a promo. Yeah, it's your open challenge. Anyone want to come out here and get it? Get it? And then Shayna will come out. Why was I just snorting? I don't even snore like that. By the way, thank you to everyone who sent me feedback on how much your sneezes smell. What an awful conversation Sunday. That turned into a life of its own. All right, we're at an hour and 10. We're not done yet, but I definitely got to give a little shout out to tonight's sponsor. And big props to everyone out there who has DM'd me to let me know that you have ordered some items from Manscaped. No joke, I have a huge box inside, and what I did today was I went on Amazon, and I ordered a empty, like, create-your-own-gift box set. It's like an empty gift box with, like, bows and stuff. I'm going to take all the Manscaped stuff and put it in a nice gift box and add a couple of things to it, give it to my dad for Father's Day. But if you are, especially a man, with all due respect, I mean, women could check out Manscaped also. If you have a special man in your life, it could be a dad, an uncle, a neighbor, a boss, you know, definitely check out the site too. It's just that women's hair is much different than men's hair. You know, these items are meant for that real gritty hair. You know, you use a women's shaver, a man does, and you get stubbles, you get ingrown hairs, you get things nicking. Then you have Band-Aids on your pee-pee because you tried to use a women's shaver. You realize your hair is not the same thick, you know, it's much thicker. Manscaped is a product that is designed for men, and it is all groomings. Items. It's not just for down there. They have nose trimmers, which I have. It is spectacular. They have body spray, cologne, shaving kits, but Manscaped will always be known for down there. And yes, they actually want me to plug it. It is the ultra smooth package. You go on manscaped.com right now. You could get it for as little as $29.99. Free shipping, use the promo code DONTONY. If you were maybe like me a month or so ago, where, you know, you ever see like these bad episodes of Forensic Files where they find like a dead body like in the cornfields and it's like 7 feet high, the bushes, that's pretty much what it looked like down there. So you go to Manscaped and you get the ultra smooth package. And the idea is that you clean it up a little bit. We all get lazy, but, you know, when you read polls that 90% of partners say, you know, they get turned off when they, you know, they open up, you know, the floodgates and they see nothing but bush out there. This isn't 1975 anymore. So you go there and you just clean it up a little bit. $29.99, you know, if you really want to go one step further, you get the Lawnmower 4.0. And it's got this nice plastic guard, so when you cut down there, it trims it nicely. But then if you want to go one step further, you get the Ultra Smooth Package. You get the Crop Exfoliator, which is a soap. You wash it up. It softens the skin. It gets rid of dead skin. It prepares you for shaving. Then you get the Crop Gel. It's nice. It's cool. You rub it on there, and it wakes up your pores. And then you get the shaver, the Crop Shaver. You get extra blades, and you could shave as close as you want. You want a male landing strip? Go for it. You want to keep just a little bit of hedge? Go for it. You want to go infant, the infant look? Go for it. But one thing is for certain, these items are top quality, and believe me, I don't get no discount other than a 20% off when it comes to buying stuff for my dad. So I got it because I know he could use it. And I know he would enjoy it. I don't know how his reaction will be when he sees that I got him stuff for his balls. But I also got him all the other items as well. So go to manscaped.com, look around, and find something for yourself, something for your dad, boss, neighbor, and use the promo code DONTONY, get 20% off. You also get free shipping. You can't go wrong. Manscaped.com. All right. You know, someone on Patreon the other day said, wait a minute. If I put ad-free shows on Patreon, why is he hearing me plug in Manscaped? Because Manscaped is a sponsor. It's not an ad commercial. There's a big difference. Manscaped is helping this show, you know, fund it to get bigger and pay bills and stuff like that. And, like I said before, I will never plug something on this channel that I don't like or I don't use myself. You will not see me plugging cat food. You will not see me plugging women's perfume unless my fiance absolutely loves it. You know, you will only see me ever plugging things that I like and use. Why would they drop the charges, Charlie? Ask the court. Not enough evidence. Not enough there. You know, you got to ask the court. Don't ask me. All right. Couple of more questions, then we'll do predictions. So let's see. VJ, would I ever consider doing a show of a half hour show talking about health and keto and stuff? Yeah, I was thinking about it. You know, sometime later this summer, I'm going to do little small clips of random topics. In fact, I almost put up a poll the other day, and I was going to give like five different big topics in wrestling, because Saturday's discussion about women's wrestling, the response I got has been amazing. Mostly email, you know, some DM as well, but the response, I mean, if you look at my Twitter, I don't know if you click on my followers, I don't know if it's shown based on when they started following me, but a lot of women inside within wrestling started following me, and few thanked me personally, and they said, look, you know, thank you for bringing awareness. A lot of women in wrestling realize that they're not at that position that they could voice and complain and speak out, because you see what happened with Big Swall. For some promotions, you know, they may bring her in for a one-shot deal, but there's a lot of, better yet, forget Big Swall. I got a better example for you. Better example. Diamante. Remember when Diamante came in? Remember we did that giveaway? I gave away that hat that she signed and took pictures of and everything. And I was so into Diamante. I thought Diamante was going to go a lot further in that company. And what happened? You know, it was a little bit of a falling out. Wait, am I mixing her up with someone else? I could swear it's, is it Diamante? I think it's Diamante. But she had the falling. Is she the one that had the falling out with Thunder Rosa? I mean, the one I'm talking, Ivelisse. I knew I was like, wait a minute. No, Diamante's still at Ivelisse. I'm sorry, Ivelisse. I mix up the names because Diamante and Ivelisse tagged with each other. Ivelisse. You might remember, if you search on my channel, we did the contest. We gave away the autographed hat from California. She did that autograph signing. I was so high on Ivelisse coming in. She had that match with Thunder Rosa. And, you know, you could see something was wrong. You could see the no selling. You could see, you know, the issues. And Ivelisse was gone. And Ivelisse, you know, I follow her on social media. And I like her. I think she is really talented. Unfortunately, Ivelisse, for a lot of promotions out there, they think that she's just too much baggage to even bring her in for like a one-shot deal or a couple of shots. And I don't think she is. She speaks out. She gets pissed. She will let you know. The problem is Ivelisse is not in that position where she can do that and still get a lot of the opportunities that she would want. And unfortunately, there's a lot of women out there that would love to say more, but they can't. They're not that high in the food chain. That's why, like I said, you know, I know CM Punk really means well. I know some others do as well. But it's very easy for those people to give that kind of advice where they've already made it to the top, where they already have all the leverage. You know, tell that to someone who's all the way down here that is just getting by, and if they voice out, they may lose all their opportunities. And then they have to work, you know, for an office instead of wrestling. You know, it's that's not as easy as you think. But that women's topic, the response has been so outrageous that I want to do mini episodes that just focus on one particular topic. You know, whatever you want to do, you know, intergender mixed tag matches, intergender matches, you know, whatever it is, a topic that might be a little controversial, that's something that I would like to do this summer. You know, 10, 20 minutes, you know, just go on a rant about one topic and go from there. I don't want to just take bits from shows, because a lot of people do that. They'll record one big show and then they'll put pieces from there. Because if you tune into the whole show, if I put out a clip from that show, you already heard it. I want to put fresh stuff with it. Okay. What do I think of COVID and GCW? It's going to happen. COVID is not out of here. It's going to be here for a few more years. It's good to have, look, WWE is going to have a situation sooner or later with a few people having to take off. You're going to have it happen in AEW sooner or later. It's not a sloppy shop. It's just, it happens. You'd be surprised how many of my customers in the last 4 to 6 weeks who have gotten COVID. I'm shocked that I haven't gotten it. I mean, I got my booster 2 weeks ago, and, you know, I thought it was good other than sleeping that first day, sleeping a lot. I don't understand how I never got COVID. I'm around people all the time. I wear my mask once in a while still. You know, I look at my surroundings. I make the judge. But any promotion out there, they're going to sooner or later, they're going to have to deal with it. And, you know, hopefully a lot of people are vaccinated because it gives some protection. You know, I've said this 1,000 times before, and I'll say it again now just for 2 seconds. The biggest mistake that our country did and a lot of other countries did is they should have told everybody from day one that the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID. What the vaccine does is it gives you protection when you get COVID. That's what they should have said. There is no vaccination. When we were born and we get shots, there's no vaccination. It's 100% guaranteed, foolproof. So they, from the beginning, set this narrative up that get vaccinated so you won't get COVID. And then people that were vaccinated got COVID. So a lot of people that were maybe thinking about it, like, the fuck am I going to put this in my body for? I'm going to still get COVID anyway. They should have said from the beginning that it gives you some protection. I used a nightclub reference. If I open up a nightclub and I have no bouncers and a whole bunch of people from the town of COVID show up, hey, yo, let's go to this bar. And they show up and they trash the place. And I have no bouncers. I got to sit there and take it. And hopefully they leave without completely destroying my club. So now, instead, I get the vaccine. I get antibodies. I get the I call up this bouncer club company called Antibodies. You need help? We're here. We're Antibodies. So now I fill my club with antibodies. COVID, Team COVID is still going to show up with their baseball bats. They're still going to cause some damage. But guess what? Now I got a whole bunch of bouncers in there that are going to beat the fuck out of them. So they may cause a little damage, but in the end, my antibodies are going to kick the shit out of the Team COVID and chase them out. That's what they should have done from the beginning. And they didn't do that. And that's why so many people won't get the vaccine, don't trust it, don't trust this. I've gotten 5 doses already. You know, I didn't grow an extra finger. I don't have any type of mysterious illness. Unfortunately, my dick didn't get bigger. You know, like nothing changed on me. I don't have any weird symptoms, but that was the biggest mistake they ever did. Yeah, I could call the mob, but the mob don't want to be bothered with that. If you notice, like in the history of the mob usually whacks the mob. Mob usually don't just whack like everyday people, unless they were doing it for fun or enjoyment. So, Mark, Cody Rhodes is one of the faces of WWE. Why do you think, you know, they take the belt away from the kid so he could limp and give it back to the kid? Why do you think Cody is on Twitter every house show? Oh, signing photos, limited to 30. Why do you see Cody signing with everyone? He does it because he really cares. But this is all optics. This is all optics. Anybody that was unsure if Cody Rhodes is just this salesman or is he really genuinely this good of a person, he is answering that in a lot of people's eyes. He is genuinely that good of a person. I could only imagine how Brandy feels right now, because Brandy came across to me as someone who really wanted the spotlight in wrestling. You know, like she wanted that focus. And I personally think it must really bother her that WWE is not interested in working out a deal with her, you know, even to get her on TV. Really interesting. But, you know, Cody is the real deal. And I'm still not this huge Cody fan. Let's make that clear. But I respect the man, and I respect the hustle, and I respect his hard work and commitment. And you got to be impressed with that. That's got to be uplifting and inspiring. So, okay. Let's spend 5 more minutes with questions. That'll give us 90-minute show with the Q&A part of this. And then we'll spend about 30 minutes doing predictions. And we'll call it a night. Favorite dancing gimmick in wrestling? Oh, my goodness. Disco Inferno, Alex Wright, Tokyo Magnum, 3 Count, Rikishi and Too Cool, Brodus Clay, Tank Abbott. Sad, sad, sad. You left out the one that I would choose out of all of them. The Blue Meanie. The Blue Meanie. The Blue Meanie, when he would do his things and he would just like the Meanie strut. With Stevie Richards and ECW, that's my favorite. Rikishi and Too Cool was a lot of fun, and I loved it too. That WrestleMania or Royal Rumble moment was my favorite. WrestleMania, Royal Rumble moment, but it got played out after a while. 3 Count, just, I liked the song. I was so like happy when I got the full theme song of their song to put on my radio station at that time. Tank Abbott was a joke. Brodus Clay was not around that long. Alex Wright. Disco Inferno? Sure. I mean, I love disco music. So he was doing the Travolta thing. So Disco Inferno was good. But for me, Blue Meanie, Stevie Richards, the Meanie strut. Blue Meanie happens to see this. Much love, the Meanie strut. I don't remember much about Animaniacs. I watched it when I was very, very young. Animaniacs. I don't watch it. Yeah, Ray Liotta, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. 67. You know, I see pictures of him in the last year. And, you know, like, I haven't heard anything about him being in poor health. But, man, it's just weird how some people could age that quick. I mean, you know, I saw him in that commercial. Was it for pain? Didn't he do a commercial for pain, like with his arms or something? Or was it a skin condition? I remember he did a commercial, and I remember he was reading a script. It's a commercial that came out like within the last year. I don't remember if it was for pain or for a skin condition. Or maybe it was, it wasn't Chantix, like stop smoking or something. But he did some commercial. He didn't look too bad. But I was looking pictures today of like this year, and I'm like, oh my God. Wow. It's like, it blows your mind how people age sometimes. I mean, it doesn't feel that long ago that I was hanging out with De Niro and Pesci by my dad's house when they filmed that movie, The Good Shepherd. And now I look at Pesci now, and I'm like, oh my God. I have never seen Aubrey Edwards dance to Disco Inferno's theme. I try to, like, limit, you know, as much with Aubrey Edwards. I have nothing against her. I don't crap on her. I mean, you know, she's part of the show, and AEW doesn't tell her to stop. She works hard behind the scenes. I admire that. But, no, I don't go out of my way to see extracurricular stuff with Aubrey Edwards, so... All right. Bash 8 says it was stopping smoking. That's right. So I wonder, well, no, I didn't hear about Ray Liotta having any lung cancer or anything like that. But yeah, Chantix. Don't ask me why, but I remember like he did some type of commercial and Chantix came to mind. I remember they showed him like he was in a car reading a script. I'm like, I don't know. I hate those commercials. They're so ridiculous. We've had many conversations about those commercials, so especially when you see some of those medications and they read you the list of side effects, and some medications, this one of the side effects is death. It's like, no, I'm not going to take a medication where one of the possible side effects is death or, you know, increasing suicidal tendencies. No. James, we talked about Bayley coming back to eliminate Sasha. her name as much about maybe like 20 minutes ago. Better to rewind the episode. You know, I think it could happen. Bailey is very close to a return. She is close to a return. They're not going to speed it up, you know, just to get her back on TV. They may bring her back on TV and she may not have a match for a few weeks. I personally think if they're going to bring her back soon, maybe her first match is at Money in the Bank. Maybe she is entered in a Money in the Bank match. Maybe she wins Money in the Bank. I could see Bailey walking around with a briefcase for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, if they bring her back, that will take away a little bit of the buzz with Sasha Banks, for sure. They don't need Bailey, Kevin. They don't, you know, but it's good to have her. She helps. She doesn't hurt the show. She helps the show. They don't need any one person. I mean, Roman Reigns is obviously very important. You know, Roman Reigns is almost what John Cena was back in the day. John Cena for the kids back in the day was a necessity. And you remember that infamous night when Roman Reigns first was on the main roster and I said they're going to give Roman Reigns the John Cena push. And my former co-host was like, he doesn't wrestle like John Cena. He doesn't look like John Cena. And I said, nah, I said, role model wise, I think he's going to get the John Cena push. They need somebody to be that role model. Does Cody replace Roman as the role model? I'm not sure about that. Cody, I think they're trying to get the kids really behind Cody. But right now, I think Cody is more for the young adults. Some children, obviously, but I think those kids are still, I think Riddle is being molded as one of the top baby faces for the kids. You know, he says a couple little jokes to allude to 420, but, you know, it's really harmless stuff, harmless humor. So, Marco Matticoli. Matticoli, thank you very much for the 20 spot, my friend. Best pizza joint in Howard Beach. He'll be there for a weekend this summer. Rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Absolutely, rest in peace. Look, the most infamous pizzeria in Howard Beach is New Park Pizza. They unfortunately are well known because of the racist incident that happened in the 80s where a couple of Italian teenagers chased a couple of black teenagers, beat them up. One got killed, I think, on the highway, the Belt Parkway. New Park Pizza is very infamous for that. And the sad part about it is, you know, they were not involved. Believe me, if they were involved, that pizza place would have been gone years ago. So they are the most infamous pizza joint in the neighborhood. But we have a pizzeria called Divino's, D-I-V-I-N-O-S. They make outstanding pizza. I don't eat pizza because of keto. I'll eat all the toppings, but I won't eat the bread. But before I went on keto, I ate Divino pizza and I ate way too much of it. Divino is awesome. Gino's is good, but it's a little oily. If you want homemade, like thin pizza, like margarita pizzas, there's a restaurant called Bruno's that makes pizzas. But I would say Divino's is your place to go. That place, Bruno's, I think, didn't Jason Solomonster many years ago, he's like, hey, anybody know a good restaurant in Howard Beach? And I said, yeah, check out this place, Bruno's. And he went. He said he had an awesome time. So Bruno's is an awesome restaurant. So, yeah, that's where I would go, Marco. Divino's has some kick-ass pizza. There is a pizzeria called La Villa that is awesome, but their prices are a little bit outrageous. But they do make some kick-ass pizza. La Villa makes some good pizza, too. So, all right, one more question, and we're going to go to predictions. And this is from Cappy Caveman. Every time I hear that name, I think of Captain Caveman, that cartoon. Is AEW Forbidden Door going to be the pay-per-view of the year potentially? No. I think this pay-per-view Sunday could be pay-per-view of the year potential. I'm not saying that Forbidden Door is not going to kick ass. I think Forbidden Door will be excellent. But mainstream United States wrestling fans are not very familiar with a lot of New Japan talent. They act like they do, but a majority don't. You look at the ratings for New Japan on Axis, they get horrendous numbers. You know, you can't even get 5% of AEW viewers to watch New Japan to get a little familiar, to see some of the names, you know, and they don't. So you will get outstanding wrestling. But the thing is, some of those names from New Japan fans are just not going to care about. And that's just the way it is. I'm not knocking it. I said this reminds me of when ECW was going to feud with FMW in 1997, I think it was, or 1995. I think it might have been 95. 97, I think, was the rumor when Vince was going to do an exploding match with Onita featuring Cactus and Terry Funk. But, you know, when ECW was going to feud with FMW, like, I couldn't wait to see Wing Kanemura and Onita and others. And this is 1995, and believe me, anybody I hung out with that were wrestling fans, they didn't follow FMW. 90% of the people on that card, they didn't know who Masato Tanaka was or any others. So, you know, for them, they would have liked the ECW wrestlers, but they wouldn't have gave two shits too much for FMW. Maybe once the card happened, maybe they get into the matches, but they're just not household names yet. Once they become more familiar with American wrestling fans, then the interest will go further. This pay-per-view is a win-win for New Japan and AEW. No question whatsoever. But because of the names involved with the New Japan side, it's not going to get as much of a buzz as some expect. That's just the way it is. But definitely is a plus for both. So, all right. So, with that said, this audio, because for my friends out there in the audio-only land, I am dividing tonight's shows into two episodes. One is strictly Q&A with Don Tony, which is what we just had, and then I will have a separate episode for predictions. Unfortunately, because we are live, there's no way for me to split the video, so this show will continue here on video. But for everyone else at home, Q&A with Don Tony is over.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.